Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is Professor Barry Shubb to give us an update on what is going on with the vaccines. Interestingly enough, Professor Shubb, you were actually on Hard Talk. How was that experience for you?
Hi, good morning, Howard. Yeah, I think it was very interesting. He certainly is a probing interviewer, and he talks hard.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. I think it was good that we kind of, you know, could air some criticisms which need to be answered. They're very valid. They're very legitimate. And yeah, he gave me a good opportunity. So I think it was very good. I thought it was excellent. I think it's one of the
it certainly came across well. Yeah, because it's look, you know what you're getting into. You know what you're getting into when you go into you know that kind of it's called Hard Talk. But you know you didn't come across as defensive, and I think that's what often goes wrong with these types of interviews is that. If you take that stance, then I think it really can be a very unpleasant experience.
Yeah. No, look, I think he did ask very good questions, and I'm very glad he did ask the questions that he did ask. And I'm glad he gave me the opportunity to actually speak to them, because I think there is a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of kind of false information that is going around, and there's a lot of truths, mistruths, and non-truths which are going around, unfortunately, particularly in the vaccine sphere.
Absolutely. So let's get an update, because I do think that some of the problem is that there isn't clear communication coming from government about it, and maybe these things are so fluid that it's almost impossible for them to provide the information that people seem to want. You know, in other words, dates and times and those types of details. Give us an overview.
Okay. Well, basically, as I think what's very well known is that a million doses of AstraZeneca vaccine will be arriving very, very soon. It was originally promised by the end of the month, so we've got another week to go by the end of the month. It should be coming by the end of the month, and then 500,000 doses has been promised for February. So those are committed vaccine doses. Then there's a lot of negotiation that is going on. And as you know, from a legal point of view, they're all subject to non-disclosure agreements. So until they're absolutely finalized, until all the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed and they've been signed on the dotted line, the actual information on that can't yet be revealed. But there is a lot of optimism that we will get probably, you know, a large chunk of what we need. You know, I've done some extrapolation with figures, and it looks like, you know, about a half of what we required is really kind of, I don't want to say committed because it's not committed, but is being hard negotiating.
So you're obviously privy to things that you can't disclose to us because they are in process. Are you reasonable?
Actually, Howard, let me interrupt. Yeah. I'm actually not privy to those, to be quite honest.
Right.
You know, I'm not a part of the Department of Health at all. You know, we're just an advisory body. I'm not privy to it. So under torture, I won't be able to reveal anything.
Damn, because that was my next way that I was going down this road. No, I would have assumed that you had insight into what was being negotiated. Really, the question that I was asking was, are you reasonably confident that within the next, let's say, 3 months, let's say the next quarter, that we'll start to see a lot of these vaccines coming through our system?
Yes, I am. I tell you why, because, you know, things like programs such as COVAX, you probably heard of COVAX.
Sure.
That's the pooled procurement mechanism. They have promised, and the African Union has also promised a commitment of, a supply of vaccines. So, those should be in the pipeline. I think the kind of final commitments have to be signed. But I think they're almost there. That's my impression.
And tell us about the concerns around the vaccines and the new variants.
Yeah, this is a worry. It is a bit of a problem, because in the laboratory there certainly are some worrying signals that the immune response, in other words, that the antibodies produced as a result of the vaccine, or shall I put it this way, from infection from the previous strain of the virus on which the vaccine is based, there is reduced neutralizing ability. So, but it is a laboratory data. In the real life, you know, will that translate to reduced efficacy of vaccines? Well, that still remains to be established. You see, basically, the problem is, of course, that this new variant is really basically a dominant strain in our country, not so much in other countries. And relatively few people have been vaccinated, only those who've been in the trials. So it's going to be a little bit awkward to try and find individuals who've been vaccinated to see, do they get what's called a breakthrough infection with the new variant? But there are a lot of laboratory studies done overseas, a lot of trials being done overseas, also with people that have been vaccinated. Obviously, you can't challenge them with the variant, but to see their responses to the vaccine, are they neutralizing the variant variant virus? So all this information is now being basically under research, and we're hoping and we're expecting to have some kind of good indication in the next couple of weeks. But practically, we're still going ahead with the vaccine rollout. At the moment, there's no indication that the vaccine won't work, but it is research which is still ongoing.
Do you have a preference in terms of which vaccine? Reality is that whichever vaccines come, we'll use them. But if you had a choice, would you prefer one over the other, over another?
Not really, because, you know, they're all undergoing rigorous or have undergone rigorous evaluation, both for safety and efficacy, and they've all passed. They'll all be licensed. So the end result is not going to be that different between the vaccines. So I'll take whichever vaccine comes first. That'll go into my arm.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I would take both. I mean, I know we can't, but whichever one comes my way, I will take. One of our listeners asking us earlier to put the question to you, the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine, is it a concern to have both?
No. You know, they are both what we call inactivated vaccines. They don't contain live viruses. So it doesn't really matter. With live virus, we do have a bit of a caution because you don't want to mix them and so on. But the killed vaccine doesn't really matter. So they probably could be taken, they could be given simultaneously, obviously in different arms. You don't want to give them the same arm, but different arms. And then they can be given simultaneously. However, we normally don't want to kind of give one vaccine soon after the other, either simultaneously, or we would wait probably about 2 weeks between them.
And Kate asking if we have any indication as to how long the antibodies will last with the vaccinations following the vaccinations.
Gosh, I wish we'd know that answer. You know, it's obviously too early to tell. You know, the vaccines have only now been rolled out. They're being followed up, obviously. But there are some good signs from people that have been recovered, that have recovered from COVID, that they do retain immunity probably for at least 6 months. But with the vaccines, probably the same, but, you know, we have to follow it up. It's still early days. Hopefully it will be fairly durable, fairly effective. And I say hopefully at least for a year. But, you know, we may need to do recurrent vaccination to keep up with the variants as well, but also to kind of maintain that durability of protection.
And in terms of South Africa, what kind of numbers do we need to vaccinate in order to reach a herd immunity?
Yeah, I think this is where there's a bit of a confusion from the media and so on. You know, we probably need to vaccinate about 27.43 million people. That's about, we've worked out that the herd immunity is actually about 46%.
Wow.
So 46%, yeah.
Okay, so that makes, that's a huge difference when you're calculating the numbers of vaccinations we need.
I'll tell you how it comes out more or less the same though, because we're only immunizing adults, not children. You know, it's not licensed for children. So we want to try and get a herd immunity of 46% of the entire population, including children. So that works out to about 27.43 million adults, which then works out to 67% of the adult population. But it's not, the 60% of the adult population is not 40 million. 67% of the adult population is about 27.43 million.
That is very, very interesting.
I think that's where there's some confusion with the numbers.
Yeah, certainly. I didn't have that. I certainly didn't have that clarity, which at least I now do, and I greatly appreciate. Yeah. So, Professor Barry Shubb, thank you as always for coming on to the show, giving us an update so that we know exactly where we are and where this is heading. Keep doing the amazing work that you are doing.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.